And so until now, we've been dealing with the person. Just person, place, and time. So we got to break it down. We got to talk about the people and the place that we're in all the time. So the Ratzav Shaladim by the Mazeh. Right now, we're focusing on this world. There's a lot more beyond this world, but right now, this world. So you block him or stay on him. So there's two different breakdowns. Mifchan is you break it down into its part. There's two bechinas, aspects. To break things down to the parts. Tchuna is atzma shel adam, the person's natural tchuna, the tchuna is the makeup. The halakha, there's different components, vakavasim, and the way that it's put together. I mean, you've got nuts and bolts and widgets. And then there's the way you put the widgets into the nuts and the bolts. It's different. The makam asher emu somebody on the place. We exist in space. That's something. This is our reality. Our reality is that whatever we are, however we define ourselves, there's one thing that never changes. That we have to exist within something. I mean, this might sound obvious, but to exist without any place is something beyond comprehension. You have to take a moment to try and think about it. Then you don't have a place to be. You're not in a place. And there's nothing. So probably the first thing that comes to your mind is floating in outer space. But that's also a place. That's also a place. That is the place.
Space was created because Chuck... Because there's two spaces on the same planet as Chuck Norris. Space.
The Yitzharak.
At any given point in our entire existence, in our lifetime, we're always in something. We're in something. Now, there's another aspect. We said time. We also exist within time. You can't break out of that in Olam Hazeh. In Olam Hazeh, you exist in space and you exist in time. You are a prisoner of time. What?
What if I have the kids?
What about it?
So if I have the kids, you're
Yeah, but you live, every moment that you're here is magic. You're going through time.
But your name is not within time once you perpetuate yourself.
You're still in time, because there's night. There's night, so there's night for him also. That's a new beginning, a new end, a new beginning, a new end. So, B'chinas Adam Atzmos, so first we talk about the person, that's us. We make Kfar Zechayim, so this is something that you mentioned already. Eichu Murkav are different components. Complex, you're a complex organism. Murkav is a complex organism. That we are melded together. We're placed in a smelting furnace. We are forged together. The neshama and the guf. It's two opposites. Which one do we relate to the most? What do we relate to the most? The goof? First and foremost is the goof. A kumri is Rishayna boy. The kumri is. Kumri is means. Kumri is clay. Earthiness. Kumri is clay, it's earthiness. But first and foremost, we see ourselves as a physical entity. But the Deisav and the ramifications of this, Chazakas Ben Yod, they are very powerful. They exert a very powerful force on us. That the first thing we relate to is that we're physical, earthly creatures that has tremendous impact on every part of us. She talks about birth. Immediately upon entering this world, birth, kemat kulei chamri. How much intelligence does a newborn baby possess?
As much as Bukhari.
Ouch.
What? How much seichel? How much? You know, when you look at a newborn baby, what are the signals? What's the evidence by viewing a newborn baby that there's a soul?
He's crying.
I'm just saying that there's like a lofty purpose, and they can climb, and there's so much that he could absorb and how he can understand. All you see is a life force. All you see is the baby's alive. What does the baby want to do when they're born?
Cry and sleep.
Grow. Go back in. Grow.
Eat. Eat.
TJ baby wants to eat.
Eat.
Oh, they grow.
Sleep.
You have to eat to grow.
Be held.
Sleep to grow.
That's it.
Me too.
That's it.
You still are going to be eating and
eating. They don't grow though.
They don't want to grow.
They do.
They want to grow.
They do.
You see that?
The nursing puppy.
Yeah. They want to go as fast as they can. That's why they
want to
eat.
This the circles, the activity of the circle is very, very minimal. The circle of a baby is, there is some kind of signs. I'll give you an example.
I don't see any signs.
I'll give you an example. There's a baby. The baby's crying. The father sees the baby's crying. So he figures, I'll pick the baby up and I'll hold the baby because the baby wants to be held. Father picks up the baby.
That's crying more.
Baby doesn't stop crying. So the father holds the baby over his shoulder, doesn't stop crying. Maybe for a second, you know. But then, don't cry. Okay. So the father holds the baby like this, you know, sideways. Baby doesn't stop crying. So the father puts the baby in the stomach, you know, puts his hand under the baby's stomach, he starts petting the baby. Then the father stands up with the baby. The baby doesn't like sitting. Sit down, child, nothing. He does this right. The mother comes along, she sees the baby crying. The father's doing everything. She walks over and takes the baby, puts the baby on her shoulder. Silence. What happened?
Baby wanted its mom.
How does the baby know?
Smells.
What? Because there is seichel in a baby, but it's very minimal. That's what he means.
Well, even we can't do it. Saying babies can't see.
They can.
So I told you, my wife has sisters, they're twins.
When they first got crawl into the wall?
When they first got married, they looked identical because. I mean, the shaitels were the same. I was like, they looked identical when they first got married.
And
my wife has two sisters. They're younger than her. They're twins. They both get kids around the same time. You know that guy that shows up at my house? He hangs up on me for much?
Yeah.
Yeah, so he's one of those. He's the first one. So this little kid, this Shmuel Moshe, hangs around my house. He's a baby. I don't know how old he was. He's a little baby. And he was crying, so his aunt picked him up. His mother's twin sister, she picks him up. She's holding him over his shoulder. He has no idea what's what. He's not even looking around. His mommy's holding him. He's fine. He's cool, you know. And he's fine. It was a long time. I was sitting right there. It was a long time. Then all of a sudden, his mother passes by. I saw this. He looks like this. Looks like that. Look at this. Look at that. He starts screaming, crying.
How old was he?
1 month old. Look at baby. I couldn't, you know. Could I? It was hard for me to tell the difference between them. I mean, I'd have to focus, you know, try to concentrate. And yeah, I could do it. But it's a baby.
You can't even see.
Where? 4 months he could. Because they have seichel.
What if it was the other way around? What if it was in his mom's hands and passed by?
So you're scientific. You're a scientist. You would have done an experiment. But in any case, it's evidence of some kind of thought process. So today, you know, the first and foremost is the body needs, the bodily passions, the bodily urges, the bodily desires. Because when we come into this world, we come in as a body with very little intellect.
But with a lot of potential. Life.
Potential doesn't help. We're starting off with the it's decked against us. When we enter the world, it's the bottom of the ninth inning, and there's two outs, and there's no one on base. That's what he's telling us. The Kavir is God, light as a person matures. Yeluk ha-seichel alek v'chazek, and the seichel becomes more prominent. And we see this. This is we see with our own eyes. There's certain things that the only thing that's going to help is maturity. You can have all the experts in the world and all the techniques, but there's nothing like growing up. You know, I've always said, and this has been proven, amply proven over many years. You have a kid that's in 10th or 11th grade, gets thrown out of high school, and his parents want to help him, they send him to Israel. And since the kid's a wild kid, but he hasn't done it all yet because he's young still, so they leave him in America, he's going to do Kol Davar Sheshavayu. They send him up to Israel and they'll send him to a yeshiva that takes these kind of kids at the age of 17, 18. And the Rebbeim are like really sweet and they're really nice and they're really smart and they're really hip, you know? Yeah. And all that. And take them, send them there. And they're going to go there. He's going to do what every other kid in yeshiva does. First couple months of the year, he'll forget that he's supposed to sleep at night time, get it out of his system, and then all of a sudden, you know, he'll start, the tits will come out, and they'll get a decent haircut, and start wearing button-down shirts, and maybe a hat for davening, a jacket, he'll come to Seder, start asking questions, and it's going to happen. The entire yeshiva is going to happen to him, but not to that kid. Why? Because these things don't happen to 16-year-olds. Because they don't have the seichel of an 18-year-old. It's not there yet. A 16-year-old has the seichel of a 16-year-old. And an 18-year-old has the seichel of an 18-year-old. And this tremendous yeshiva that does miracles because they're talking to 18-year-olds. And when they talk to a 16-year-old, he doesn't hear them because he doesn't have the intelligence. You can't teach calculus to someone that knows addition and subtraction. And you can be really warm, really nice, really warm, and really nice, and really good at explaining things, and a good example, but he doesn't know integral calculus. Talk about the sine, and the cosine, and the median, and the integers, and the prime number. He doesn't know what he's talking about. So seichel is something that grows with a person. And so also sine, there's some things that 18-year-olds you can't talk to them about. There is no jumper.
Can't have any son.
And then you say, what's going to be with my son? What's going to be with this bach and yeshiva? Everything we're trying isn't working. You know what you say after that? He needs time. He needs time. I tell you. Okay. I mean, in Mitzvah Shem, you should grow up and you should marry tzaddikuses and have wonderful children. And your children should give you a lot of nachas. And they should grow up and develop their kaychas and be who they have to be and be happy, functioning individuals. But life isn't always like that, and not all kids are like that. And some kids you could have are like that, some are not. And the most important thing that you have to keep in mind in raising children is that sometimes you just have to try and keep them away from a virus as much as possible. Surround them with a positive environment. Invest in it, even if it costs money. Draw a red line, and that red line is not this is what I like and this is what I don't like. The red line is, this is if you do it, I'm going to shoot myself. It's on one, and then on the other side is, if you do that, I won't shoot myself. That's where your red line is. That means you take a long talk with yourself. If my kid does A, B, C, D, E, F, G, H, I, J, K, L, M, N, P, Q, S, T, U, V, W, X, Y, I don't like it, I'm going to be sad, I'm going to have a hard time getting up in the morning and facing the world, but I won't shoot myself. So that you let him get away with.
He does Z.
He does Z, I will shoot myself. That he cannot do. And if you do it, you're out. Draw your lines. I'm saying you draw your lines. You tell him, this I don't agree with, but, you know, but that, I'm going to shoot myself. That is, I will, you're out. You're out. And then you get out of the way for about 3-4 years. That works.
Get what?
Then you get out of the kid's way for like 3-4 years. If it's a problem, I'm talking about a problem kid that doesn't listen to Ben Sarenberg.
Yeah,
that is what you do. No, you don't chuck him. You get out of the way.
Yeah.
You didn't hear what I said, so how do you know what? You didn't hear the first few things I said.
What does that mean?
Said.
So what if that's he does the, what if he does Z?
Then you do what you say. You,
what is, which is what?
Kick him out.
Well, it depends what the consequence was.
Oh, if he doesn't do Z, then you get out of the way for a while.
Right, if he doesn't do Z, it means if he's willing to stay within the parameters,
yeah.
So then get out of the way. If more people were able to, some people aren't capable of following this advice.
So how do you know?
They have a problem kid that's doing Kol Davar Shebayalim, but the parents are in denial. You know what the phrase Kol Davar Shebayalim means?
Yeah.
And the parents are in denial, and then they're yelling at him because when he went to shul, he forgot his hat at home. I know you didn't forget it! You can't fool me! Next time we go, you're going to put that hat on the thing. And the kid underneath is saying, they have no clue what I'm doing. So you got to be real. You're mechanic your kids as long as they're listening to you.
Isn't the kid supposed to think they have no clue around
this? The minute the kid stops listening, the minute you realize the kid stopped listening, then you have to change your tactics. Okay?
For what?
I just told you.
Yeah,
exactly. Now, why do I say this? Because this kid is missing das. And the only way for him to get das is time. And you want to make sure that during that time he has the opportunity to get the das and to change and be a different person. And if you get in the way of him, it's not going to happen. Because the new das will come and he will shove it right back where it came from. That's it, you know? Make your limits. What you can live with, what you can't live with. Tell him, I'm not trying to tell you what to do, but this is me. I can't live with this, so this is the price you pay for this relationship, for being able to be in the family, for all the other things, you know. You do this, everything will be exactly as before, the love and the giving and the whatchamacallit, and you will be a functioning member of this family. You don't do this, I have no choice, I have to live with myself.
So you're out?
Depends what the consequences.
So what are consequences?
What are possible consequences?
Yeah.
What does the kid want the most? You know, what are the consequences? What are you sure that he's not going to want to lose? You have to...
Who is that? Like saying, I'll take away your car, or I'll take
right,
away your...
Right, whatever.
You're not sure.
I think it's a lot.
Freedom.
Freedom.
Yeah, but then the kid just sneaks out.
You put him in a boarding school.
Access, staying at home.
Put him into a boarding school because you can't.
Being able to stay at home, being a part of things, being financially supported. There's a whole list. What do you think? You know, for some kids, they go to a school and they get thrown out of the school, and then what do you do with the kids? So you know that you could probably get them back in. But you're paying $1,000 a month for this school. So tell the kid, hey, listen, do you want to go to this school? You don't want to go to this school. I want to go there. Okay, then if you want to go there, the price to pay. It's a price to pay. They have rules. You got to follow the rules. I'll keep the rules. I said, yeah, but there's a problem here because I'm paying tuition. And I could go in there and I could talk your way back in there and they're going to tell me that they're going to keep you for the semester, but if it doesn't work out, then they're throwing you out and they're not going to give you the money back. They're going to want $6,000 up front for the semester, and you walk in, then you do that thing again, you're out, never get your money back. So I don't trust you. I'm never going to do that. I said, okay, it's nice, I wish it's true, but I got to put money on it. I have no idea. Give me something I can work with. I'll tell you what. You got your money, you bar mitzvah money, $6,000, your bar mitzvah money. I'm going to pay it with that money. And if at the end of the year you don't get thrown out,
I'll give it back to you.
I'll give it back to you. But if you do get thrown out, I'll tell you what, because I love you, I'll give you back half. And then that's what you have to do. When you throw the kid out, that's the last resort. Sometimes that's what you have to do. If a kid doesn't care about money, that's not going to work. I mean, Rabbi G does it to guys over here. I mean, we're all his children. The guys did things that they said they're never going to do, and he took like a few $1,000 deposit from the guy.
Really?
Yeah.
Did he do it again?
No.
You don't have $1,000.
Then it's not going to work. You got to find something else. Anyway, that's, you know, seichel is something HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us seichel in doses. And the doses come with time. Remember, we exist, and we're complex. We have to have a place where to be, and we exist within time. And when we go and move on from one time to the next, we are traveling from one place to another place. And in the 14-year-old place, they have a certain amount of das. In the 15-year-old place, they have different das. You know how to do more things. Sounds like a video game? If you go up levels, then when you jump further, you know how to do more things as you go, you know. So that's what he's telling us. But we start out with nothing, with no das. We start out that we're purely physical, we want to eat. That's it. There's the primary desire of a baby that's born. He wants to eat. And when he finishes eating, he's tired from eating. Eating tires out babies. It's an effort. So they go to sleep. Until they get enough kayak to wake up again. So that they can eat. And then they fall asleep. In the middle of the eating, they fall asleep. You want to put a baby to sleep? Give it a bottle. They relax.
Is this anything for your wife?
Give my wife a baby. Give my wife a bottle.
Give her some food.
Give a bottle to a baby to the bottle. But then you get older and you get smarter. So you know there's something called the home team. There's the advantage. The home team always has an advantage because they belong there. This is their turf. They're comfortable in the stadium. The people there are rooting for them. They feel like they own the world. They have an advantage. You want to win a World Series game against the home team. It's very hard to do. The goof, the body is the muksuk. It comes first. And the seichel, it's already there. It's entrenched. It's already in the couch, you know. Some people sit in the couch for so long, there's an indentation in the couch already. The body's here. It's made its impact on the world. So then it takes a lot of power for the seichel, for the mind, to fight the desires and the passions of the body. Well, Yishalach Ressin Tavosim Yaday. The rest is like the bit. You know, when you have an animal, you don't want the animal to eat. There's like a muzzle, that's what we're doing. And then there's like the metal bar that goes across his teeth, that's attached to the reins, so when you pull on the reins, it jerks that thing up. You know, that's what the seichel has to do. And it takes a lot of power. It's a conscious decision every single time to follow a path of seichel. You know, if you have a car that the alignment is good, it's perfect, you're going on the highway, a straight road, you let go of the wheel, the car will stay within the lines. No. But if the alignment is off,
the hill,
if the tires aren't inflated properly, every time you let go, you go to the right,
road is always messed
left.
Up.
Also, okay, it's in perfect conditions. If you're less than perfect conditions, you're going to constantly, you let go of the thing, you have to constantly compensate. Constantly compensate. And that's what life is. Without thought, if we do things without thought, anything we do without thought is automatically going to be crooked. Automatically. Because anything we do without thought is automatically going to be by the drives that want fulfillment and selfishness and feed me, and desire and passion. And I don't care whether it's good or not, I want it. Now! We have that in us since the day we're born. And seichel, we just have that. So the seichel, it's constant. If it's, there's no constant, it's called constant vigilance. Where's that from? Constant vigilance. Even against me. Don't even trust me. You know, Shemitzias HaChaimra Atzmusay. That's the reality of physical things, physicality. Physicality is a very dark place to be. It's dark and dangerous. And when you look at things, when you look at things through a prism of physicality, do you understand the words I'm using? That this thing is something I should embrace because my physical needs require it. And this thing I should reject because physically it's not good for me, you know? And that's the way you look at everything. The measuring stick is physicality. Then it's the opposite of truth. The opposite of truth. And it's going away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And it's diametrically opposed to Kedusha.
How there's some mitzvahs that have to do with like making sure like you have to make like one of the Israel commandments on not to make sure that your body stays healthy, like you don't have to damage your body.
Someone that takes care of his body because he needs his body to do God's will, so his perspective on the body is a spiritual one. But the other way of looking at things is that I have a body, God made it, the body has bodily needs, God made me in order for me to fulfill my bodily needs. That's my value system, and I happen to have a soul, because without a soul I can't fulfill my bodily needs. That's the anti-God.
What about a mixture in between?
Well, that's most people.
That's confused.
It's 100% of people. Unless someone's a Malik, then everyone, except for Amalek, has a mixture in between. That's what's called abandoning.
Nobody
a mixture
has
in between means that you have days that you're predominantly neshama, and then there's days where the group is dominant. And there's hours in the day where you go back and forth. The definition of abandoning is not someone that the line is like even going across. There's no such thing as it. There's no one that's like that. Abandoning means that you have ups and downs. That's abandoning. And then there's a large contingent of people on this earth that are abandoning. You ever wonder what Shana Mishnah, Rosh Hashanah, whoever's a tzaddik, they get written down in the Book of Life. Whoever's a Rasha gets written down in the Book of Death. And those people are exactly 50-50, so then they have 10 days until Yom Kippur. And you see, you figure out this. A tzaddik is 51% tzaddik. A Russia is 51% Russia. Bain is 50-50. So you have a whole 10-day process in Yom Kippur for the one guy in the world that's exactly 50-50? Do you ever wonder what's shot in the Mishnah? How many people are exactly 50-50? You have a tremendous, tremendous bag of jelly beans. And then you try to approximate. The half of them go into one container. And they have to go into the other, and you count it up. What are the odds that you can have 359 jelly beans in each one? What are the odds? So how many people is this relevant for? 99.9% of the people, they're either going to live or die. So why bother fasting on Yom Kippur? Go on, enjoy life. Either you're Tzaddik or Russia. What are the odds you're abandoning? What shot? The Teretz is Rabbi said, that's not what abandoning is. Abandoning is someone that he's dragged in between two forces. obeying the Yisamah, then he doesn't obey Ra, it's not 100% obey Ra, because he does it with a heavy heart. So it's 50% obey Ra. Obeying the Yisamah, then when he does a mitzvah, it's only 50% mitzvah. Because 50% he's doing it because his father's making him do it, or his rabbi is going to compliment on him. Then you stay with obeying the youth. That's what obeying. Yes. That means he's in between two forces.
That's a big...
And that's now we can relate to what a Benny is. Now at least we can understand. We can relate to that. And most people are Benny. We hope at least that. And it's a Rosh Hashanah time to be a Benny. It's not bad. And then you got 10 days to tilt the scales. Let me ask you a question. If a Benny means jelly beans, so why do you have to do 10 days of tshuva and you're kippur? Just do one more mitzvah. Because that's not what a Benny is. A Benny is that you're between two opposing forces. You do one more mitzvah. You do that mitzvah is only 50% mitzvah. Because half of it was for covet. Or half of it was without thought. Or half of it was you were angry that you did it and someone made you did it. And said, a Ben, you can't do one more mitzvah. You're stuck.
Either way, just go back to the middle.
Right. Zamashu, we were learning stuff today. Tzach Hashem. Did you ever wonder how you ever got along in life without this? I didn't ask you. Now, how do you understand what a human being is without this? Now the neshama itself is perfect. So what's the problem? You have a neshama. So the neshama is perfect. And the neshama has a sense of what's right and wrong. And the neshama understands exactly what the person needs. So what's the problem? You have a neshama. There is a problem. Because of the neshama goes into the body and is melted together with the body. So then the neshama doesn't see as clear. When you have a person that sees very clearly and he introduces the alcohol into his system, he doesn't see as clear anymore. His value system is not as clear cut. The neshama goes into the body. The neshama doesn't become ruined, chas v'shalom, but its clarity is dimmed. It doesn't become ruined. As soon as it goes out of the body, it's fine. Complete recovery. When it's in the body, it can't see clearly. When the alcohol gets out of the system, it sobers up. There's no vestiges, no side effects, no after effects. Leaves the body, it's clear, pure. But when it's in the body, it's not clear. And the neshama can't see outside of itself. Okay.